Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Well, Rodessa Jones has been bringing a passion for social justice to her work for decades. She created the Medea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women more than 30 years ago, and she's continued to work in prisons and on reentry projects and recently performed in a play that took on climate change. And joining us now is, the inimitable Rodessa Jones. We're going to actually bring her on shortly. I think actually maybe before we bring her on, we're going to go for a cut quickly, if we could. This is from a production she did at Harvard recently at the Center for Hellenistic Studies at Harvard, and I'd like you to just hear this.
Mama Pearl, did that lady really kill her baby? And because of some crack? I just don't understand it. She did it, trust me. But it wasn't because of no crack. It was because of that man of hers. Yeah. If the truth be told, she smothered that baby to get even with him for leaving her.
Well, the name of the Medea Project emerged out of the stories you heard that Rodessa heard listening to women in San Francisco jail day room. And the stories were told in this one woman show that she did, which many people know, Big Butt Girls, Hard-Headed Women. And I think we have Rodessa on the line now. Rodessa, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am, Michael. How are you?
I'm okay, and delighted to have you with us. I just heard that cut from that extraordinary performance that you did at Harvard with the Hellenistic Studies show. And, of course, Medea goes right back to Hellenism and to Greek tragedy. And one of the things that I was struck by was just how steeped you have been your whole life, even going back to your childhood in Greek tragedy.
Yeah. Who knew? You know, As I said, we were just given all these books because my father had so many children. So the farmers from all around would just bring boxes of books, and they had these gorgeous copies of Greek tragedies. And it was like we started reading them like in the wintertime in upstate New York. Like, what is this? The pictures were beautiful. And here I am. But I think as a social activist and as a director and a teacher in the lockdown, when I worked there, I found that the Greek tragedy, Greek mythology is a way to hang an individual story that sort of encompasses us all, the suffering, the rage, the passion. And when I worked with women inside, I feel all that, like the story that you just played, the story I did. And so I found the way that, I thought that I could use a Greek myth as a way to bring in the story where each one of us matter, you know, the individual, the hero, the passion of women. I just found out that Pandora, another one of my favorite characters, was really a goddess, and the guys were kind of getting mad at her, the other Greek gods, because she was like talking stuff. And so history has made her out to be a bad thing. But everybody kind of got freaked out because Pandora was hanging with the boys and talking her truths. It's something I just found out. So I love that idea that the Greek myths, all of the myths, the African myths, the myths from the West Indies, they all speak to the human condition. Yeah.
Well, in fact, I was struck we just heard a cut from that performance, that amazing performance you did about a woman who smothered her own baby did so in great part because she wanted to punish the man who left her, who got her hooked on crack cocaine. I mean, these stories are just heartrending stories. And then you get into talking about Persephone and Demeter and the rape by Hades from the underworld and link it to Chanel Miller being assaulted by Brock Turner at Stanford. I mean, these kind of connections between myth and the everyday life and the stories that you heard and the stories that you wanted to bring to us is extraordinary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just have to give you a nod that you have given me a forum in my career to speak to the city at large, to the country at large. Yes, I just think it's I think right now is an amazing time to be alive given the pandemic, but the sheltering alone for me has been an extraordinarily a gift to be in my head, to be with my book, to be with my life, you know, to be on a Zoom with the Medea Project. It has been such a gift right now, all of these things. Some of them are dark, some of them are incredibly scintillating, but it's an interesting time to be alive. It really is.
It's a scary time for many too, of course, but business, you've always been in the business of saving lives, and that's some people trying to do that in this pandemic certainly regard or should get our highest regard. In fact, I was wondering about, just if you could talk a bit about the importance of telling stories. I mean, it really does save lives, doesn't it?
Yes, and what I've learned, just as an individual in the world, traveling a lot, sitting in an airport, you start a conversation with somebody, and you start to hear their story, and they start to hear your story, and you both leave changed about the culture, about the race, about, you know, about the person that you were just engaged. It changes your relationship to people and to the world when we share our stories, when we talk about where we have come from. And stories are as old as time, you know, sitting around sharing stories as a panacea, as a moral lessons, as religion. I mean, I came from a family where my grandmother, that's how she guided us with stories. I mean, I first heard even about Grimm's fairy tales from my grandmother. I heard about Uncle Remus from my grandmother long before Disney. And they were all about caution, and they were all about teaching us something about how to move through the world or what was going on in the world. So I've been hearing stories all my life, you know. Yeah.
And now you're putting forth your own personal story, which is pretty compelling. I mean, not only one of 11 children, another famous sibling, Bill T. Jones, a choreographer, but also and dancer. But you've also talked about, when you're talking about your grandmother, talk about your mother, 19 pregnancies, bringing children crying into the world. And Dirt Farmers, Black Dirt Farmers, which up in upper state New York, which is a story in itself that people often don't hear.
Yes, and it's interesting, again, when you think about immigration, and I think about the folks that are working the fields, and I have such an incredible connection to them, you know, being even before we were Dirt Farmers, we were migrants. And we moved around, but it's also much a part of the great American landscape, isn't it? I feel so much a part of this. I mean, all of us do. I hope people do. But I feel through theater, I've made a real connection with, you know, it's like Theodore Dreiser and his writings about the American story, John Steinbeck. And I feel such a part of that. And it's been so healing for me in a lot of ways. And hopefully when I share with other people, it leaves them a little bit better, you know, or at least feeling better. A healing is a tricky thing, but I hope that as a storyteller, as an artist activist, that it's all about us reaching out to make space for other people, and to, especially now, you know, the whole idea of Black Lives Matter, you know, here we are with that craziness that happened in D.C. The world has turned upside down, and all we can do is hold each other's hand in a lot of ways. Yeah, if we can, you know.
We're talking with Rodessa Jones, actress, singer, writer, and co-artistic director of Cultural Odyssey and founder and director of the Medea Project, theater for incarcerated women. And that began back in 1984 when she was asked to lead an exercise class in a county jail in San Francisco. And it's been, the rest is history, as they say. And she's worked with so many who have suffered with HIV and AIDS, and has done extraordinary work. I've always admired you and admired your work. And I want to say that publicly as I come toward the end of at least this serving as a host on Forum. I also want to ask you about Amanda Gorman, this 22-year-old phenomenon who stood up and gave that, I know you've talked about it publicly, the poem that she delivered and The Hill We Climb. And it was a lot of faith in democracy, a lot of faith in the country and hope in the country. It was really uplifting. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it was right on time in so many ways that she was invited to do it, given that, you know, President Biden's platform. He speaks a lot about unity and us coming together and appreciating the fact that we're neighbors. It's about peace. It's about caring for each other. And then young people with the bat, a lot like Barack Obama in favor of Biden, either with Biden or Sanders. And I think that for a lot of the Sanders people, they came over to Biden's campaign. So I thought it was very, 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 very smart that it was a young African-American woman, too. You know, the black woman is God, you know, we're coming to grips with that. But I really think that when I saw this beautiful young girl and her ability to pull a point together, the child of a single parent, another great American story. And she was so eloquent. And I hear that Oprah Winfrey actually gave her a pair of Maya Angelou's earrings. So she was wearing Maya's earrings. And remember, Maya did, was it Bill Clinton?
Yes.
Maya did the piece. And it's such it's a great legacy.
She delivered the poem at the Clinton inauguration, Maya Angelou
yes,
did.
Yes, yeah. Maya did. You know,
you think this is a time for unity, Rodessa? Does that message resonate with you?
Yeah, well, it's either that or we all perish, you know? Yeah. And God bless our children. God bless the young. You know, I tell them often that I went to the first war moratorium in Washington, and I'm 73 years old now. So I can't be out in the streets, but I'm with them. And our children, they are largely woke. Yes. We're going to get there. It's going to be a lot of work, but this democracy, building this country, has always been a lot of work. And it's totally an unfinished anthem to ourselves and to the world. But yes, I really believe that we're moving towards unity. There's going to be, as my grandmother would say, blood is going to run down the street like water, you know. And she used to say, you know, I won't live to see it. My grandmother didn't live to see it, but she said, you know, blood will run down the streets like water. Father will be against son, mother against daughter, and a woman will come running to say to her sister, behold, today I saw a man, girl. I saw a man. Now, I've heard that my whole life, and as I get older, it starts to make sense to me. But to your question, yes, unity, or we will all perish. And I don't think that that's going to happen. There's the great American spirit is a lot, the great American character. You know, death will have to pause.
And let me remind listeners that this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. And for more information about how to support KQED, simply go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. Again, we're talking with Rodessa Jones. Rodessa Jones, performer, artist, social activist, has worn so many hats, actress and singer and writer. And I want to ask you about your climate. We talked with Jerry Brown in the last segment. I want to ask you about your climate change play. Tell us about it.
Oh, at Cornell. I've been the Frank Rhodes chair at Cornell for the last 3 years. And I'm so fabulous, they're going to give me another year. But I was asked to come in, and through the theater department, Sarah Warner, who had come out to San Francisco many years ago and worked with the Medea Project, and in part earned her PhD working with us. But she heads a theater program, the LBGT program now at Cornell. But I was asked to come in and play a 100-year-old activist. And, you know, I don't know if you knew, I learned a lot about Ithaca, New York, and all the waterfalls and the physical climate changes that Ithaca has gone through over the years. And it was an incredibly insightful look at climate change and where we're going and how are we going to be mindful of our duty to, we are here to take care of the planet. And my character was this woman who had seen so much already about what was possible and what we'd already lost. And now she moves with two spirits, one light and one dark. And that was my character in the play. And she would show up at instances and make comments about what had just happened, or a conference or a parent-teacher meeting about children and climate and what was important. So it was an interesting piece to do. And I kind of arrived and they said, oh, you're going to be the 100-year-old activist. And I thought, well, Somebody knows already. Yeah.
And since you mentioned activism and being in Ithaca, I know you're working. You've been working in a men's prison near there, which must be fascinating with all the women that you've worked with. And I want to read a comment from, get your response from a listener named Patricia, if I could, Rodessa. She writes, I'd love to see Rodessa develop a curriculum for students and teachers or produce lessons or videos for kids. Kids need healthy and fun engagement now. They are under tremendous pressure, and districts are demanding teachers do standardized testing now. Are they kidding? These kids need fun and healthy engagement.
I agree. But, you know, it's interesting that thank you to the person who sent this in. Right now, Cornell University, Bruce Levitt, who is the head of he is a professor there, but he also has the Phoenix Players, who are situated at Auburn State Prison. And I've gone the last 2 years. I've gone out to this prison with him, and we are working on a national Kellogg's has offered an initiative, $20 million actually, across the world, looking for ideas around prison reform. And we're thinking about how do we gather teachers, how do we gather, starting with the third grade, to look at race and culture in this country. How do we gather teachers? How do we gather social workers? How do we gather the grandparents, the caretakers of these children? How do we maybe, if we receive this money, we want to be able to bring them to Cornell every year for a month to examine a teacher's relationship to her students. Does she understand who they are? You know, and especially little black boys, little brown boys, who can get, they get shoved aside so early. And it usually starts in third grade. So we're working on an initiative that would include bringing children to the center of the story, and also having the ex-offenders play a major part with teachers and with social workers and with the grandparents to infuse other ideas about how we move forward with our children. There's so much information out there. And at the same time, I think the children really need to have fun. And they are so resilient. You know, I'm a great grandmother now.
I know. That's unbelievable. Congratulations. What art does America, we got seconds left here. I just want to find out your thoughts about what art America needs right now as you see it.
We need, I was listening to Kehinde Wiley last night. We need more light. We need a larger landscape that includes more of us. We need paintings that speaks to flowers and love and movement. And so I think it's visual arts are really important. And I think the storyteller is very important, that the storyteller is back to the front of front and center. A dance is always important, but we must not resort to art for art's sake. It must be rooted in change. It must be rooted in changing us all, an attempt to educate us about each other. So I think the arts will be, I want more performing arts, and I want lively, vivid visual arts coming from places that we don't use, like from the hip-hop generation, from even our smaller children, because they get so much information. And with a little bit of care, one of the women in my group, Lisa.
Rodessa, we're flat out of time here, I'm sorry to say. There's never enough time with you.
Okay.
But we have to say goodbye. Appreciate so much the work you've done, and appreciate your being with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks so much.
That's Rodessa Jones. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, please stay safe. Thanks for listening. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.